can, I'm done.
Tonight's Hedidus Medrash welcomes everyone to tonight's shiur. Tonight's shiur is sponsored L'Zeicha Nishmas Hachave Moshe Mordechai Ben Tzvi Machla Pesel Basar Yisachar Refuah Shleima. It's Rizachos for Refuah Shleima from Aleph Mit Basar Rochel Nissen Ben Chaya and Chaim David Ben Leah. The month tonight's Hedidus Medrash, his sole purpose is to create more additional Torah and throughout the Muncie community. Leah and Hara, we've been very successful with shurim, various shurim throughout the entire Muncie. Aside from the Nights of Base Medrash, which we have over here, which we have a tremendous hakaras hatayif to the congregation over here, Shari Tfila, for graciously hosting us. The Night Seder has many different programs. Anyone that does not learn at night in the Beis Medrash, we strongly urge you to try to come to speak to someone from the Night Seder. Hopefully we can set you up with either a chavusa, a chabura, a shir, or something of the sort. Tonight we have with us, it's a great honor and zechus to have with us, Rabbi Zev Smith, Reish Mesifta, Yeshiva Teravidas, also a Maggid Shir for Eben Shirei Torah. He actually was here, for those of you that remember, he was here last year, gave over words of true inspiration, which we all enjoyed. By virtue of the fact that he's here again this year, hopefully he feels the same way about coming here. Reb Zev Smith.
As I'll suggest, poison bechvayd achsanya, I don't think that's necessary this evening. Looking around, or better yet, listening to the beautiful Kol Torah as I walked in, is eloquent testimony of the achsanya. I feel very inspired to think about these walls, how many hundreds and thousands of hours of Torah have gone into these walls. Certainly very important for me to tell you how much I feel about this night seder, what it's doing to the community, what it's doing to individuals. And I thank you for allowing me to be part of this and being the opportunity to get to know Rabbi Yossi Himi, who is inspiration in his Ahavas HaTorah, in his burning love for Torah. The Eibusha should give him and all of you and the Rav Zayin Gesund the Hatzlacha to continue to be this bastion of Kavod HaTorah. I want to pose a very simple question. Everybody knows the importance of Avas Yisrael. Rabbi Kiva put it succinctly, that's the essence of Torah. But if I could ask you a very simple question, what does it really mean? What does Avas Yisrael mean on a practical level? So you're wondering, what's the question? Du chesed, and bikecholim, and nichem aveilim, but that's not true. In Saita Yudal, the Gemara has a pasuk in Parshas Re'ei, Achri Hashem olekecha teleichun, you have to do bikecholim, nichem aveilim, mal bisharumim. In Bava Kama, Dav Kuf Yud, the Gemara darshan the pasuk in Parshas Yisrael, by datas aderech yelchuba, you should do chesed. Shabbos Kuf Lamed Gimel, the Maradash is the pasuk we see every day. Zekeli v'anveyu, hebe doimelo, you have to be like the Bar Yoyim, you have to have a love for chesed. Three psukim about chesed. So what is V'hafter Reacha Kamoicha all about? If you have any doubts, listen please to the words of the Rambam in Hilchos Deos, with the Rambam, paskins in no uncertain terms, there's a mitzvah on every Jew to love every single Jew. And then he says the word lafikach. What's the Rambam's primary example of Ahavas Yisrael? We would think, well, bikecholim, nichem aveilim, right? Listen to the Rambam's strange suggestion. Lefikach tzarech lesaper b'shvachai. The Rambam first came to his brilliant mind, an expression of Avos Yisrael means compliment the other person. Not a word about b'kecholam, nichem aveilam. What's going on here? If I could ask another question. We all know the well-known Gemara in Shabbos, Lamed Aleph, where the guy came to Hillel and says, teach me a whole Torah. And what was Hillel's response? Dalachsani lechavrech leisavet, which, as we know, is the concept of yihavta l'reacha kamoicha. But the question is obvious. If he wanted to tell him that the essence of our Torah is yihavta l'reacha kamoicha, why didn't he say that? Why did he have to compose his own nusach, dalach sani lechavrech leisavet? You know, in yeshiva, there's the Yetzirah to say an egg in the chiddush. You take someone else's thought, you dress it up, and it becomes yours. That wasn't Hillel's attitude. Why did he say simply, v'yahavta l'reacha kamoicha? And can I ask you another question? Is it really possible, v'yahavta l'reacha kamoicha? You know, the Ramban says al HaTorah, it's an aflogah, it's an exaggeration. It's not humanly possible to ask a human being to love his fellow as himself. And is it halachically true? But the Gemara says in Bava Metzia, the well-known story, people are traveling in the desert, there are two people going, and there's only one jug of water. So Ben Batura says, what do? You can't take it for yourself and let your friend die. Akshebar Rabbi Kiva, and he said, no. V'yahavtel reyach kamoicha, this chayecha koidmin. You go first. Chayachicha imach, chayecha koidmin. And I'm confused. The same Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Yisai, that became synonymous with v'yahavtel reyach kamoicha, he says, you go first. So what does he mean if you have to reach kamoich if you go first? And then it hit me. We have a mitzvah of you have to reach kamoich, the cornerstone of our Torah. We don't know what it means. We don't know the halachic ramifications of it. To us it's an exaggeration and it's not even true. I like to consider myself a student of halacha. So what do you do if you have a shvera concept? You look in the Gemara, how the Gemara develops the theme of that particular halacha, and you get a better picture. Did you ever wonder where we find in Shas Gemaras that have practical applications of v'yahavta l'reacha kamoicha? Well, I wondered, and I found six Gemaras that have a basic theme, a recurring theme. What does it mean v'yahavta l'reacha kamoicha? The Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Mem Hei speaks about someone that's chayiv the misa of skila, and I'll spare you the gory details. But the Gemara wonders exactly how to administer skila. So the Gemara gives a prescribed way of doing it, and says the Gemara, if Bezdin deviates from the method, and they cause him a little more pain or suffering, the v'yahavta l'reacha kamoicha. Berar loy misa yafa. Isn't that astonishing? There's an individual that did the worst crime, he's chayiv misas bezdin, and if bezdin are not sensitive enough to be thoughtful and to try to minimize his pain and suffering, that's a flagrant violation of v'yahavta l'reacha kamoicha. That's one Gemara. The second Gemara is in Sanhedrin Nun Hei. We all like a little variety, right? This is speaking about the Misa of Sreifa. How to administer the Misa of Sreifa, and again, I'll spare you the morbid details, but the Gemara says you have to do it this way, and if you do it any other way, v'yahavta l'reacha kamoicha, that's a violation of v'yahavta l'reacha kamoicha. The third Gemara is Ksubis, Daf Lamed Zayin, about how to give hereg. Sheyomus maher, he should die quickly. And again, I spare you the gruesome details. But if there's any deviation, that's a violation of v'yahavta l'reacha kamoicha. The fourth Gemara is in Soyd Daf Ches, worrying about the busha, the humiliation of that person that's chayiv mises bezdin. And if bezdin are not sensitive enough, and worrying about his busha, the yahafta l'reyacha kamoicha, that's a flagrant violation of the yahafta l'reyacha kamoicha. You know, I was thinking, imagine if we would have to write a Shulchan Aruch, Hilchis v'yahafta l'reyacha kamoicha. Do you know what it would look like? But please don't laugh. Sif Aleph is how to give skila. Sif Beis, how to give Sreifa. Sif Gimel, how to give Hered. And Sif Dalid, to worry about the busha of this criminal. The Gemara says, giving someone Misa was once in 7 years, once in 70 years. I mean, it had to be a sure deal. And yet this person, this despicable person, if Bezdin are not sensitive enough to worry about his pain or his busha, that's a flagrant violation of Yahafta L'Reyacha Kamoicha. Astonishing, isn't it? And then you think, that's Yahafta L'Reyacha Kamoicha? But he's such an evil person. He's Chayav Mises Bezdin. So you know, we asked that question to Yad Rama in Sanhedrin Nun Beis, and you know what he answers? It's not a question. The pasuk alludes to that. Says the Yad Rama, v'yahafta l'reyacha, from the lashon of Ra, the evil one in you. Bezdin has to worry about that Ra, because that's our kol ha'Torah kula. Do you understand this? Is this our essence of our Heilig Torah, kol ha'Torah kula, to worry about the feelings of this Ra? The answer, I tell you, is a resounding yes. Because we have a glorious, magnificent, splendid Torah that teaches us so much about Bein Adam L'Chaveri and so much about Ahavas Yisrael. But there's one vital prerequisite. You have to see the other person. V'yahavta l'reyacha kamoicha is a world of opportunities. But it only begins if you're caring enough to see the other individual. And I'll give you an example. I know an old G, the Marbitz Teira, Rosh Yeshiva, and he travels every day from neighborhood A to neighborhood B, which will remain unnamed. And he says, you know, how you speak to people, I'm going to ask you a question, maybe you can tell me a teretz. I travel every day from A to B, and I stand in a strategic spot, which is a bus stop, and it's well known that anybody who wants to go from A to B stands there. And it's understandable that people that are driving, Yiddish people driving from A to B, they see me standing, they'll pick me up, they'll give me a ride. After all, it could be a sweltering heat or a biting cold weather, you know. And I tell you, I'm not out to bash people, but on the average, 20 people that I know just drive by with an empty car and leave me standing. So maybe one of them is an Atzolah member, maybe one of them is wife's going to labor, but you know, after I exhaust all my opportunities of Damlikav Schus, there are invariably 20 people that drive by and leave an old man standing in the street. How do you explain that? So I said, I'll tell you the answer is very simple. They didn't see you. No, they saw you, your body, your individual, your person, but they didn't see your need. You know, they didn't put two and two together. Not everybody's so good at math. And they didn't realize, if they have an empty car and there's a man standing, why not pick him up? But you know something? You know when they do understand, and you know when they do put two and two together? When they're waiting for a ride, and someone drives by, they're unforgiving. How could you be so thoughtless? They didn't see your need. There's a world of chesed waiting for someone that's thinking enough to see the other person. And I'll give you another example. Unfortunately, it's a common example. You could have, you'd be sitting by a chasana, by a simcha, a group of people, and someone makes a joke about another person that's there. Everybody starts laughing, and it's a good joke. And if you gather your courage, you go over to that joke and you say, I don't understand you. He said, such a cruel joke. I know everybody was laughing, but you know how he felt? So he looks at you as if you came from Mars. He goes, yeah, come on, chill out. You know, I was just joking. You were just joking? Or you were just killing? Chazal say, imagine he lives just 120 years and he comes to Beit Shammai and goes, why did you humiliate your friend publicly? You know what he'll say? I was just joking. I hope the Beit Shammai has a good sense of humor. You were just joking? Chazal, you have to give your life for that. But he really, honestly, does not see the evil in his action because he was joking. But you know when he does realize what a fatal mistake that was? When the joke was said about him. And then he feels, like the Pasuk says, Yeshboita kamat pirei schorav. Those words were more painful than a stab of a knife. To go on and on. But you know what the message is? There's a person that's living in the world of Anoichi. The big eye is so obstructive of his vision, he doesn't see the other human being. He'll use a sefer and a beis medrash and he won't put it back. What for, right? But how about the next day when someone's looking for it and can't find the sefer? Doesn't it make sense? If you put it back, people can use it. If you don't, you deprive people and you cause people anguish. But there are people living in the world of Anoichi. And then there's a person that's living like Rashi in the beginning of Shmois, Nosan Einov Veliboy Liyos Meitza Aleihem. He has a caring heart. He has sensitive eyes. He has very perceptive eyes. And he sees the needs of the other human being. And he's the one that will pick up someone that needs a ride. And he's the one that will put back his svarim. And he will think before he talks. And he will not leave his svarim out. And the list goes on and on. Rabbi Chatzko Levenstein once said, in Yiddishkeit, there's a very frightening description, achzor. What does achzor mean? So he said it's a conjunction of two words. Ach, zor. The other person is but a stranger. And you know how true that is? Because if a person is living in the achzor attitude, he won't see the other person. The other person doesn't count. And he's deprived of all this magnificent chesed. The Mishnah says in Avos, Ha'oim shali shali, shalcha shalach shalcha, zumi des beininus. Which I understand. He's not a great tzaddik. V'yesh oimim zumi des stoim. And the question is, what a jump. From beininus to stoim? And the Mefarshim explained, this is a person that does every obligation, bein adam l'chaveri, tzedakah and chesed, because if not, he would be a rasha. So the understanding of the midas beinus, I understand. Why midas stoim? The epitome of evil. The answer, Rabbi Isai, is, if you're living shali shali, with that mold in life, with the achzor attitude, that invariably brings bona fide achzorius. He's the one that can make a careless joke and a thoughtless joke because he's not thinking. And then we have our magnificent Torah. And then we have our Torah that says, you know what v'ahavta re'acha kamocha means? With a ra, with a rasha. Four Gemaras, four Seifim, teaching how to deal with the Rasha. And then a Yid stops and thinks, you know, I'm learning this Torah, but what's it teaching me? That if I'm not thoughtful enough with this Rasha, that's a violation of my Torah Kula. And how about with my spouse? And how about with my neighbor, with my worker, or with my own child? If Beis Din is not thoughtful enough to worry about the Busha of a Rasha, that's a violation of Torah Kula. And how about with your own wife? How careful we have to be. How uplifting this thought is. How demanding our Torah is. Become a thinking person. Don't be consumed with the shali shali. See the pain of that Russia. So tomorrow will be a better worker, a better boss that's at work because you're thoughtful. Does not mean that if you only have one pair of shoes, give it to him. Because no, Chayecha Koidmin. But says the Achrayim, the Sephorim, the Ksava Kabbal, the Peloyoyitz. You know what it does mean? If I could put it very bluntly, you don't have to give him your pair of shoes, but put yourself in his shoes. What would you want he should do to you? Would you expect him to put back the Sefer because you might need it tomorrow? So give him the same courtesy. Would you expect someone to give you a Yashikoyach when you worked hard for him? Or be an ingrate? So do that to him. We know what we expect. And says our Torah, you know what the synopsis of it all is? Treat him as you would expect him to treat you. And then I realized that was the Chochma of Hillel. A guy wants to know, can you tell a guy, can a guy understand that? Even a Heiliger Ramban couldn't come to terms with that. The Ramban said it's a flogger. How do you tell a guy such a thing? So Hillel gave him a very practical, workable, doable solution. It's as simple as that. Get yourself involved. You know what you want. Treat him the same. That's possible. And that's workable. Think of the other person. I heard this story many years ago, but it made an impression. I think that's the basis of it all. It goes back over 40 years ago. Rapam's mother passed away, and he was an oval. Understandably, he didn't go to weddings. And yet, almost every night when there was a wedding, he would travel to the wedding hall, wish the chassan mazel tov, and go home. And one of his colleagues who told me the story, another Rebbe in Yeshiva, says, you know, I don't understand you. You're over 60 years old already. He was then an older man. And you don't have to go to weddings. And you go every night? Yedanach, every night? So Rapam says, but don't you understand? For me, it's every night. But for the chassan, it's once in his lifetime. Should I deprive him of that happiness that I give him a mazel tov? That's v'yahavta re'acha kamoich. That's a person that's thinking and seeing from the other person's perspective, and then the decision is clear. We answered every question. One question remains very blatantly clear. L'fikach tzorach l'sakve b'shvachai. Is that the Rambam's primary example of Ahavas Yisrael? Aren't there more important things in a person's life than complimenting the other person? Oy, how the Rambam understood human emotions, Rabbi say. Oy, the Rambam understood better than we do. Now there's a Gemara in Tainus Chav Beis, incredible Gemara. Rabbi Breika once met none other than Eliyahu HaNavi. And he asked him a rather strange question. There's a street teeming with people. Who in this street is a Ben Olam Haba? He counts the Gemara, Eliyahu looks around and says, nobody. Which is shocking. They're saying now these weeks, Kol Yisrael, yesh tam chelik b'olam haba, and nobody's a Ben Olam Haba. But the Gemara continues. Suddenly, Eliyahu says, oh, I see. Those two fellas, they're B'nai Olam Haba. Understandably, a breaker ran to them and says, Mayuv Daichu, what do you do? And of course the question was deeper, like, what distinguishes you of all these people that make you B'nai Olam Haba? So they answered like rather sheepishly, like, why are you asking? You're a great person. We're Inshi B'duchi Anan. We're jokers. Rashi explains that people are depressed. We make jokes and we cheer them up. You understand this, Gemara? That makes someone a Ben Olam Haba? He makes jokes? So I looked at the Mefarshim, and there's a one of the Achrayim of the Teras Chayim, incidentally, who was a Mekubal, who certainly was privy to this bit of information. He writes it twice in Sanhedrin, Peiches, and in Sanhedrin, Daf Tzadik. He asked this question, but he asked another question, which is obvious. What are you asking Ben Olam Haba? Like, what do you care? And who knows? Like, what kind of question is that? Says the Teres Chaim, and I quote, he was asking a much deeper question. Who? Everybody has Olam Haba eventually. Mi ikka bar alma da'asi k'moy shehi. And I'll quote, every person lachashe meis v'nid mechibet keva v'ainshish al gehenim. We have the misa and the ainshim on the chaprin. That's standard. But who is a ben olam haba k'moy shehi, exactly the way he is, a straight ticket to Gan Eden? Oh, that's not Kol Yisrael yeshem chelik mabo. And that's why at first he hesitated. But then he saw those two fellas, those jokers, they are b'nei olam haba k'moy shehi. I looked at it again, and I threw up my hands and the feet. What's going on here? Did it make the question any less, or did it just exasperate the question? Someone that makes a joke is a ben olam haba k'moy shehi without the whole purification process? But you know what the answer of Baisa is? Chazal appreciated. Chazal understood what it means, someone that devotes his life to bring some happiness into another person's life. Chazal didn't underestimate the greatness of putting a smile on another Yid's face. Because Chazal learned that Shulchan Aruch Hilchos V'yahavta Re'acha K'moicha, and they understood the implication that a Beis Din are not worried about a Rasha. That's the Ahavta Re'acha K'moicha. And how about a Yid that's not a Rasha? How thoughtful and considerate and devoted and compassionate we have to be. Do we sometimes underestimate what a word could do? What kind words could do? Do we fully grasp the depth of what Shlomo HaMelech told us? Chayim biyad loshin. There are words that breathe new lease and life into a person's neshama. Don't you learn the Gemara in Bava Basra Daf Tes? Hanoisin pruta la'ani is mizbarech b'sheish brachas. If you give tzedakah, you get 6 brachas. Hamefaisim b'dvarim mizbarech b'yud aluf brachas. Almost twice the amount for saying a nice word. And the Marshan Taisis explained, this person doesn't have tzedakah to give. He can't give tzedakah. Instead, he gives kind words, and he gets almost double the amount of brachas. For what? You know what for what? Because he gave the most precious commodity that a human being so desperately needs. He gave that other person kind words. Chayim biyad loshim. You know, I once said this theme in an out-of-town community. A lady approached me afterwards and says, you know, and she was tears with her eyes, you know something, I experienced the truth of what you said. She said that she went to a doctor once, and a typical visit, and the doctor said, you have to come back, there's something wrong. The next visit, the doctor broke the news that she has a terrible machla and she needs immediate treatment. She was beside herself. All of a sudden, she found out this devastating news. How do you tell the children? She had no idea how. She decided she'd take the children out to pizza, the whole family to pizza. And the kids never went out. They didn't eat out, generally. And they felt very queasy, uneasy about the whole idea. So she tells me, there we are sitting in the pizza shop. The children know something's wrong, something's different. They don't know what to expect. I got up just to go to get some water. I got to regain my composure. And just then, I'm going to get the water. Someone else comes and says, you know, I'm serving your family. You have such a wonderful family. You should be gesund and have a lot of nachas from them. The lady had no idea who this lady was and the problem. But she told me, those words burned through my neshama. You have such a wonderful family. You should be gesund. And she told me, 2 years of an excruciatingly painful treatment, I survived. Because I thought of those words, you have such a beautiful family. Oh, yeah, Shlomo understood. Chayim biyad loshim. And does that have to be so extreme? Can't you all relate to this scene? You wake up in the morning, and it's one of those days that go from bad to worse. And you're convinced, you know, Beis Shammai was right. from one of those days, and just then someone compliments either you, your child, or your grandchild. Isn't that therapeutic? Isn't that healing? Isn't that uplifting? Isn't that giving a new lease in life? You start to think, what does it take to say a few words? Is there any cost? Is there any effort? I'll never forget the scene. The summer in Ostrago, I spent many of my summers. Yankov Kamenetsky, incidentally, every Shabbos would go Friday night to the cook and thank her for all the hard work. Which in itself was a lesson, of course, at Toiv. But particularly, there was one summer, there was a new cook, and Rabbi Yankov had to leave suddenly, and he wouldn't leave without thanking her. And she was unaware of this minute, so it was a whole story, because she was not there, and Rabbi Yankov was looking for her, and she was looking for him. And I'll never forget, I could see as if it happened today. The scene reappears in my eyes. Rabbi Yankov was looking, and she's looking, and somehow they met in between. And before Rabbi Yankov said a word, he started saying, Adank, she started crying from Simcha, says, Mein ganze wages, I guess wages is the Yiddish word for wages, but mein ganze wages, kommt nicht zu die Werte. All my salary don't compare to these nice words. I'm a feisei mizbarach b'yud alef brachas. I don't know how many of us are in camp, but there's a cook in our family. It's called a wife, a mother. You know the words of thank you, of I appreciate it, was a good supper. You know what it means? It's the difference between a labor of love and avodas perach. Pamoy said, Klai Yisrael built Pisa and Meramses. And what did the Gemara say? What happened to Pisa and Meramses? There was a quicksand, and there was an earthquake, and it was destroyed. So why did they keep on building the same place? Because Mitzrayim wanted to destroy Klai Yisrael. And the biggest destruction is you work and you don't feel the gratification. You don't feel satisfaction. A few words make all the difference. I was once in a bank, Erev Pesach, which is the right place to be, Erev Pesach. And I met an old neighbor of us, an old woman that lived in our neighborhood. She moved out at that time. And she comes over and goes, oh, thank you so much for your letter. You don't know what it does to my husband. Trust me, I had no idea what she was talking about. No letter, her husband. I had no clue at the time. But I smiled along. I didn't want to ruin her feelings. And she keeps on talking. She goes, you know, my husband works so hard and no one thanks him. Your letter just made all the difference. I started realizing, I know what she means. It was Hanukkah. And as the Minig Yisrael, we send in to our children's rebellion appreciation. I still feel it's inappropriate with your 7-year-old to walk in, you know, with an envelope. Here, Rebbe, it's a tip for you. And throw it on his desk. So, instead of giving it to my child, I took out an envelope and I put in the envelope and I wrote it. Now you can't just send an envelope, it's a check. I wrote a nice few words. Didn't take me too long. And that kept him going from Hanukkah till Pesach. That kept his wife going. I don't think, I hope I shouldn't sound guyverdic, but what did it take? What does it take to pick up a phone, especially the end of the year like now, and call up our child's Rebbe, you know, I know all the effort. My son's a different son, a different child. He has a different cheshek. I appreciate the work. I guarantee you, in front of an Aron Kodesh, on you is said, Yesh koina oilamei b'shachas. Because the Rebbe is a human being, as great as he may be. And if he feels a satisfaction. We all know the Rebbe's phone number when we have complaints. Shouldn't we pick up a phone just to give him a compliment? You know, Pam used to call up parents of Talmidim, what he called a nachas call. He would call up in-laws of married men to give them a nachas call because he was tapping into the enormous strength of what he coined chesed b'dibur. You know what that means when you get a call that I appreciate your work or I understand that you're working and you're working hard? And what does it take? How much does it take? Another example, close to my heart. I always say this, and I wanted to prove it to myself. So I once made an informal survey by the Shabbos table. At the time I had children ages from then around 19 and down. And I says, Kindlech, listen, I need your help. I want you to think of the happiest moment that you remember in the past few weeks. And I gave them time to think. And again, they would take it seriously. And I went from child to child. I wish I could have taped it. It was incredible. Every child told me of a compliment that they received. One from a teacher, one from a principal, one from their father, believe it or not, if I ever gave compliments, but they remembered it. I was thinking, unbelievable. A child, his happiest moment is when they receive a compliment. That's what Shlomo said, Chayim Biyad Lashon. Children, Rabbi said, are like plants. They only grow when they're watered generously. Watered with compliments. With an image that you want them to be. What does it cost? What does it take? But I guarantee you it makes all the difference. Then I started realizing there's an awesome strength that we all have. And that's called Chesed B'dibur. But you have to see the need. You have to be thoughtful enough to see that there's a Rebbe that works hard. There's a wife that works hard. There are children that work hard and they try to excel and they deserve the compliment. And that was the Rambam's greatness. It's more important than anything else. It's Mizbarach B'Yudal of Brachas. But if you're living in the Shali Shali world, you don't realize what you're losing. You don't realize what you're missing. The Zohar says, just like there's a punishment for someone that says a sharp word, a mean, a cruel word, there's a punishment for someone that could say a nice word and doesn't say it. You know why? Because it's equally painful. You could have cheered up that person. You could have brought happiness into life. Why didn't you? What did it take from you? I'm not asking you to build a hospital. I'm asking you to build someone's heart. To build someone's smile. I'll give you another example. The Rambam says in Hilchos Deis, "Havi magdim shalom l'chol adam, kidei sheteidaito noicha himenu." Make sure to greet the other human being. And the Rambam adds a few seemingly unnecessary words. Kidei sheteidaito noicha himenu. He should feel good with himself. And the Rambam will ask, why did the Rambam have to add that? The Gemara says in the end of Brachas, Mishnah Brachas says, "Magdim shalom is ritzoinei shalom akim, the Eibishter's will." What's wrong with that? Why did the Rambam add kidei sheteidaito noicha himenu? My Rabbi say, the Rambam is telling us a davar gadol ma'od. Oy, the Rambam, how he understood human emotion. There are many people in our shul, in our neighborhood, in our yeshiva, in our bungalow colony, in our family, that are very simple, plain people. They're not prominent, they're not famous, they're not wealthy, they're not the funniest, they're not the life of a party. They barely get invited to simchas. They're barely noticed. And if they're not there for 6 months, no one will realize it. Comes Purim, no one sends them shalach manis. Could be an older person. Could be a widow or a divorced person. But that's not part of mainstream society. Do you know what it means, living day in, day out, and feeling you don't count? That if you don't show up to shul for 6 months, no one will realize that Purim comes and no one sends shalach manis. That everybody's going to the wedding that you weren't invited to. And Chazal put it so succinctly. Oy chavrusa, oy misusa, im ein l'adam, oy avim, noyach loy sheyomus. That's not human weakness. That Chazal said about choyni hamagol. That if a person has no friends, death is better than that. Do you know what it means, a person living a life of death? I wish I'm wrong, but I know I'm not. In every community, in every shul, there are such people. We like to consider them the quiet guy in the back. I'd rather say, the neglected Tzelem Elokim, that's living the indescribable pain of an Ein Lele Adam Ayavim Noyach Loishe Yamas. Nothing less. You know what it means to go with him and greet him and say, I didn't see you in shul last week. I'm making a wedding and it'll be incomplete if you don't come. Or we're going to Shabbos. I'd love to have you over because I'm happy to see you. That's not Magdim Shalom, just another chesed. You're restoring his dignity. You're giving him a sense of purpose in life that he does count and we do care about him and he is somebody. That's the chavrusa that's replacing that horrible mesusa that he's experiencing. And the Rambam let us know, Magdim Shalom sometimes, Kedei Shateidaita Noiche Imenu, it's far greater than you think. What does it take? What does that hello take? You know, yeshiva, we learn about a Chefetz Shel Mitzvah. I could say this emphatically. Today, one of the greatest Chefetz Shel Mitzvah is a telephone. You pick up a telephone and you call someone. Someone that's lonely. Could be a relative, could be a grandparent, could be a neighbor. That's the chavrusa. Rabbi said, the phone is the chavrusa that replaces the mesusa. And the Rambam said, that's the primary example of Ahavas Yisrael, those kind words. But what happens if a person is not thinking? He's losing opportunities with friends, with rabbeim, with children, with lonely people. And that's the magnificent picture of Yehafter Yehacha Kamoicha. In a ra, you have to see the other person. How much more so in that lonely neighbor? Go over to him. And then I realized there's so much oimik in Shlomo's brilliant words. The pasuk is often misquoted, but the pasuk actually says, "Maves v'chayim biyad l'shoin," and we associate that pasuk with lashon hara. It has become the battle cry of Shmiras HaLashon now at times. Maves biyad l'shoin. You could hear the cry of Shlomo, his pain, his gevein. Maves biyad l'shoin yidin. There's such destructive force in words. Why don't you realize that? You hear Shlomo's cry and maves biyad l'shoin. But I hear equally painful the cry of Shlomo. Chayim biyad l'shoin. There's so much, there's an incredible, awesome power called words that breathes life into so many people. Into your spouse, your child, your child's rebbe, the neighbor, the rav that certainly appreciates you thanking him for his drashas. But the list is endless. And what does it take? A few words. Chayim v'yad lashins, Shlomo's piercing cry resonates the world. There's so much you could do with words. If only you realize, you only tap into that enormous strength. But you know what's incredible about this? I wish I had more time, but let me say this briefly. There's another Gemara about Havas Yisrael. You know what it is? It's a Gemara in Sanhedrin about children and parents. Look at the Gemara, Daf Pei Gimel, Daf Pei Dalet, I'm sorry. You know what the message is? I'll tell you what the message is. Rav Volbe once said, just like a child cannot be without parents, Rav Volbe understood human emotions like no one else did. A parent cannot survive without children. And he writes these frightening words. She'in habonim ha'horim re'evim u'te'evim ha'zrach ha'shemesh ve'eis b'neim. A parent is chalishing, thirsting, for the children to show love and concern. And he writes this very clearly. Habonim heim balei batim al hireyim. Parent children are managers on their parents' lives. Shim einem marim lahem ha'oras panim, mashchinam b'leiv aviyam ve'imam, choyshach ve'afela, u'mechabim ha'or zeruah al chayehim. They're extinguishing the light of life from their parents' lives. I'd rather not touch the whole thing. But I can tell you, in my position dealing with Bachim and parents, the most painful experience that a parent can ever experience is when children mature to the extent that they don't need their parents anymore. Whether they're single, whether they're married, it's irrelevant. But a parent once told me, my child graduated from Kibbutz, I know where it's the answer. That's the most painful thought that a person could ever experience. It can happen when the parent is a plain parent and the child's a lamdim, but it's totally inexcusable. The ahavta v'yachad gemoicha has to be also in our relation with our parents. Is it unfair to ask a person that's still zoicha to have parents, even if he's busy with his own family, to call his parents every night? Is that unfair? Or is that tapping into the cheftishal mitzvah called the telephone? And telling your parents in no uncertain terms, I still think of you all day. What does it take? What does it take? A phone call. Today with the cell phone, with the callers, you could be fixing the roof if you want and using a phone at the same time. It doesn't even take time any longer. But if someone's living in the Shali Shali world, he doesn't even see the opportunity. But someone who's focused is Chayim Biyad Loshin, with his parents who deserve it most. And Achrein Chav, Rabbi, say one more point. I once heard from an expert psychologist who basically said these words, that she deals with many women with Shalom Bayis issues, and most of the problems are that a wife does not feel appreciation from her husband. In other words, I married you, so you got to cook and bake and wash the dishes and do the laundry, and like, why not, right? And then I stop and think, and I hear Shlomo's cry of Chayim Biyad Lashem. You go to someone's house for Shabbos, they give you a tea. Do you ever think of not thanking them? And how about a wife that works Yomim V'Layla, or a husband for a wife, I'm talking about spouse, but where's basic Avos Yisrael? Because it's your wife, there's no chiyuv. Re'ezeh Pele, Rabbi Yisai. Listen to this remarkable idea. There are two other Gemaras that have halacha l'maisa of yihavta re'acha kamoicha. In Kedushin Daf Mem Aleph, the Gemara says, talking about obviously a very, very idealistic young man, a dehaibin and a shama, that literally wants to make a leap of faith, and he wants to marry a girl without seeing her. A literal, a blind date. And the Gemara says, you can't do that, my friend. Why? Shema yirag b'adava meguna, says the Gemara, v'rachman ha'ama v'yahaptil re'yacha kamaycha. Incredible. He's a helig in the shama that's willing to marry without seeing the girl. What are the chances that he's not going to like the way her nose looks? Shema! Shema! The possibility exists. Chazal couldn't live at night thinking that there might be some rift in the Shalom Bayis, and that's a flagrant violation of Yahavta Re'acha Kamoicha. Incredible! With your wife, a helig in the shama. And how about a nida? Tafid Zayin, Gemara speaks about relations by day. Also, you can't do that. Shema Yira by Dov Maguna, Vatayra Oma Vihaft Yacha Kamoicha. Look at this magnificent picture. Four Seifim about Rishoyim, Bahavdil, and two about our wives, and one about our parents. Because that's a training. See the other person in every situation. Don't be a Shali person. Harness the enormous strength of words. There's so much you could do with words. Chazal, such a vision, such a clarity, such a focus. Train yourself to say, what can I do now to help the other person? And the closer the other person is, the more the obligation. Parents, wives, strangers, there's chayim in that. But after Achim Moich is all about seeing the other person. Then there's a world of chesed, of nichem, but first you have to see. And let me leave you with something that taught me this. I guess a synopsis of what I spoke today. I once met someone who told me, I have to talk to you very urgently, and I'm trying to call, and I'm calling, this is the olden days, and your phone is busy, busy, busy. I said, you got the right number? I have two teenage daughters. You got the right number. I said, you know what? I told him, you know what? Tonight, 9 o'clock, I'll go home. I'll wait by the phone. No one will use the phone. Please be prompt, and we'll talk. I'll pick up the phone. Good. I did that 9 o'clock, I'm there, 9:15, 9:30, ain't koil. He didn't call. The whole night went by, no call. I realized, this is my nesoyin achayim. If I'm quiet the next time I see him, I'm a ben olam haba, k'moy shehi. The next morning I meet him, before I have a word to say, he goes, where were you last night? I says, don't play with me. I was waiting all night, where were you? He goes, what do you mean? I was calling you, calling you. I'm so desperate. I'm calling, calling, calling. He says, listen, do me a favor. I was by the phone the whole night, you didn't call. I did! I says, it can't be. It doesn't make sense. I says, I have to figure this out. I go home. And the phone is in my study where one of the kids sleep occasionally. And I realize the kid went to sleep early. And they closed the ringer off. You know, on some phones, the ringer, you do hear it, you don't hear it. And I realize that's an incredible phenomenon. A person could be calling and calling and calling and he's desperate. But if the ring is off, you don't hear him. And that's you have to reach kamaicha. Put the ringer on. Put the ena valiba, start looking. You'll see a world, I don't know a better word, a world of opportunities. You'll try it with your child's Rebbe, with your child, with your spouse. And I warn you, it's habit forming. It's intoxicating. You'll feel so good. You do so much with so little. It'll make you a whole different person. We are much stronger than we realize. We are much more powerful. We have a tremendous impact on the world if we harness this strength of Yihavterech Kemoicha. Let the chesed that we do lamata be moira chesed lamaila. And we should be zeichet to the ultimate chesed. B'yas ha-goyal b'mher v'yameinu. Amen. Thank you very much. Thank you for listening.